I'm really excited tonight to continue on episode 3 of a 4-part series on being unoffendable, living unoffendable. Week 4, we'll catch up after Easter, as I mentioned. Hey, if you missed any of the last few weeks, I highly encourage you to jump on the YouTube channel or on our website, wherever you social stream. Jump on there, and I truly believe it will help you catch up on some of the stuff that we've gone through. And this is a teaching series, friends, that is designed to help you see how easy it is to be drawn into offense, right? It's really easy, and not realize the negative impact and the consequences that it's having on our lives, on your own lives. So let's look at a scripture tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I hope you have your Bibles. No shame if you don't. We're going to have it up on the screen here for you as well. You can use your iPhones, your Apples, or whatever you want to use tonight, and we're going to have some fun. So 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, here we go. It says, "Dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts." And I love that he sticks distracts in there, because there's more distraction in our Christian faithing most of the time than there is defiling. But if you've got some defiling, let's talk about it tonight. "Both within and without, let's make our entire lives," that means our entire life, friends, all of our rhythms and our passions, our motivations, our desires, everything in our lives, "let's make it fit and holy temples for the worship of a good God." And that's what worship is worship, giving him all I can, everything that I have, because he's worthy of the praise and the worship that I get to. See, not just in song, but even in my time, in my energy, and in my finances, in whatever that might look like, I can give good worship to a good God who is worthy of that praise. And I'm going to make a clean break with everything. That's what I've been asking Jesus for in this series and throughout this last few weeks. God, help us to know and to learn what it means to make a clean break from those things that are defiling the way we think, defiling those things, the way we act, defiling our hearts and our minds, our emotions, and those things that also are distracting us from what you called us for, distracting us from your mission and from your purposes, God. So that's what I've been praying over you, God, over you this last few weeks, and I truly believe that God is doing that work in us. Has anyone else been learning something from this series in the last couple of weeks? Amen? Man, I've been learning from the Holy Spirit. I want to just give a quick recap on what we've been unpacking, just in case we need a reminder here. A couple of major things that we talked about. First one is there's two stages of offense, right? Now, offense is the poison that we've been talking about, and this is our demonstration tank, this toxic drink, this poison that we were served up, that we're not drinking, that we're choosing to not drink anymore. We're talking about getting rid of offenses in our lives. So remember these first two stages. Stage one is something that we all experience. It's inevitable. You will experience being offended. You probably did today even. And if not today, it was definitely yesterday. Maybe not. It's been this week you've been offended, at least. If not, you've had the choice, and you're like, devil, I see you coming. But you've experienced feeling offense. It's stage one. You're feeling it. That's when we feel offended. Stage two is when we make the choice, when we've been served up a big old glass of offense. Now, do I drink it and ingest it and allow it to permeate my body and saturate my soul and affect the way I act? What's my choice in this? So that's stage two. Now I have a choice to either to drink or to not drink the poison that I've been served up. To live offended, right? Everyone has felt or will feel offended by someone or something at some point in our lives. But at stage two, it's where it gets really real, friends. It gets dangerous. Like, you got a choice to make, right? We feel it, we experience it, it's real, it hurts, it's not right what's been happening, and this is when we begin to ingest it. And like I was talking to Mitch earlier, he's like, you know, offense, when you see the poison, it's actually really tasty. It tastes so good to get revenge and to avenge ourselves when I drink that poison, and I'm ready to take it out on somebody, right? Maybe you're not a fighter, maybe you use your words, or maybe you don't use any words at all and you give the silent treatment, maybe. How do we respond when we're offended, when we drink the poison, right? It feels really good to have that moment of vengeance, or moment of, I'm in control of the situation here. We begin to ingest and begin to drink that poison of offense. We can begin to actually live offended. And because you are living offended in some area of your life, friends, nobody in this room is not living in their life with some area in your life that you've been living offended. And I believe Holy Spirit, God's been dealing with my heart. There's times that I wake up in the middle of the night or early in the morning and I'm like, God's just revealing something to me. And it's like, there's a glass right there that I've been served up. And I've been thinking about it. And I didn't even realize it was really an offense. It was kind of small, but it was kind of irritating, but it's just a little irritating. Right? But I'm living offended and I need to deal with it because it's going to hurt me at some point, and it's not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt me, right? It's having a negative effect on us. So let's pour us up some good old poison tonight. You ready? We've got some pink bubblegum flavor for you tonight. Some good stuff. Remember, living offended is like drinking the poison, right? And hoping the other person is going to die. So this poison that they just served you, you want to drink it, and yet hope that they're still going to be the one that suffers the consequences. They're the ones that are going to have it all go wrong on them. And this is what we want to learn to take away from this series, that we can choose to live undeterred by offense. Friends, I know that we have the choice. I know that we have the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit invested in us when we believe in Jesus as our forgiver and our leader. We have the ability to not drink the poison, to make that choice, to let it go, to get rid of it. But sometimes we live offended and we drink the poison, but we can choose to live undeterred by that offense. We can live unoffendable, friends. We truly can. And that's what I hope that someone will walk away with some help tonight. So slide 3, I just want to remind you, is don't drink the poison tonight. Don't drink it tomorrow. Don't drink yesterday's. Don't drink the poison. You make the choice, friends, and guess what? God makes the change. See, sometimes we think that we have to do this in a self-improvement kind of way, right? And we think that we got to do all the work. Friends, you can't do it. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it alone. God gives you the strength. See, what you need to do, you have a free will choice. Free will choice. True love cannot exist without it. God gave you that gift, and what you can do is make that choice to live undeterred, live unoffendable, and then let God do the change in you. Let God do the change. You make the choice. God makes the change. I know it's tempting. It's like, it's so beautiful, right? It looks like rosé wine. It's got to be good. I made some chicken tonight, you know. We've all been there. Some of us are still there holding on to the glass and debating it and thinking about it and maybe even making plans for it later. Maybe even can't wait to social drink with your friends with this glass of offense. Don't do it, friends. Don't drink it, even if everyone else is doing it. Don't drink the poison. See, slide 4, the problem with living offended is that it doesn't hurt them, it's hurting you. The problem with living offended is it's not hurting them, it's hurting you, friends. So let's jump into a story. There's a story from the biblical text that I want to bring to your attention today. I think it's really appropriate to look at this story and consider how we can relate to it tonight. It comes from 2 Kings. It's a story about a great military leader in the Bible, and his name is Naaman. Maybe you remember Naaman. Maybe you named your son Naaman. Maybe you don't even know who Naaman is. Naaman, though, had an incurable disease called leprosy, and Naaman was, he was a prestigious man, a distinguished leader in his day and in his time of this writings. Maybe even well sought for his strategic military thinking, had a lot of influence. He carried the favor of God, we actually read about in Scripture. Even though he wasn't an Israelite, he was a Syrian, he carried the favor of God. And in this time period of this writing in 2 Kings, his nation, the nation of Syria, was blessed because of Naaman. Everyone loved Naaman, not Raymond. Everyone loved Naaman, right? For you 80s kids out there. Fast forwarding a little bit into the story, there is this young girl who served his household. I mean, Naaman was a big deal, friends. He had a whole set of staff to manage. He had a whole entourage. Probably even had an executive assistant, right? A scribe, maybe. A personal barber to get his dope fade and beard trimmed up just right. Right, he was a big deal, Naaman. I'm going to use a little bit of imagination just to bring us into the story. Is that okay? I mean, he's a big deal. He had a big chariot garage, maybe. And you know, maybe there's a Ferrari version of a chariot there and a Lexus version and maybe a Tesla version. I don't know what that would look like as a chariot. But hey, like living beyond the means of many. And he was a big deal. And there was this young girl who lived and served in his household who had heard about his problem. Who had heard about, maybe she loved working for Naaman, but she's like, oh, dude, I just heard, what? He's going to die? He's got a disease? Whoa. His medical condition that he might even die from. And she being from Israel, this servant girl, a woman of God, being bold and brave, she goes and talks to Naaman and says, hey, Naaman, Mr. Naaman, I know of a guy. I know of a guy, and he's kind of a real deal. He's a hope dealer. A hope dealer. Yeah, he does. He's a healer in Israel who maybe if you could just make this trip to see him, you might just get healed from your leprosy. You might just have a fresh start in your life and be healed from this thing that's been plaguing you for so long. Naaman, though, being a guy who understands authority, he goes and gets the king's permission for some time off from work. Like, this is a strategic military guy. Hey, boss, I need some time off. I'm going to go see a hope dealer in Israel. That okay? So off they go. They pack up the coach, and Naaman's probably a little bit excited and a little bit nervous all at the same time. I can't believe this is happening. I could actually live free of this problem. I could actually live free of this disease that I'm expected to die from. This leprosy. So here, let's pick up in scripture after you're listening to my imagination for a few moments. 2 Kings 5 and 9 says this. So Naaman, slide 5 here for us. So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha saw him on his doorbell camera. So what does Elisha do? Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Next slide, slide 6. But Naaman went away angry and said, I have to use a whiny voice. I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the spot and cure my leprosy. Like, that's what I really thought was going to happen here. Are not the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Like, come on, this is disgusting here, friends. Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed instead? So he turned and went off in a rage, is what scripture tells us. He's raging. So here's Mr. Naaman. He rolls up with his whole entourage of friends and servants and helpers and his team expecting a big deal for his whole big deal that he is himself. I mean, I had this whole thing planned out, this whole idea. He will do that, and then he'll do this, and maybe he'll say that, and then I'll say that back, then we'll laugh together, have a drink maybe. He's going to invite me in. We're going to have some great coffee together, of course. Like, I had something a bit more in mind, right? We're talking about offense, friends. Like, this totally didn't live up to my expectations at all. Like, Google review, 1 star, by the way. Right? When what Naaman imagined didn't happen the way he wanted, he went away in a rage. He was angry, upset, irritated, talking to his peeps. Oh, man, can you believe this prophet guy who's not even as big of a deal as me? Hasn't accomplished much in his life. Doesn't have a really big resume like me. He sent a messenger like, arg. I mean, that kid didn't even have facial hair yet and smelled like oatmeal. Like, really? Come on, Elisha. Didn't even have the courtesy to come out and meet me himself. I deserve so much better than this. Like, doesn't he know who I am? I'm going to call his supervisor. All right? Get him on the phone for me right now. Dip in that nasty river, no way. Gross. I'm from Syria, man. Like, we have fancy stuff there. Nice beaches. Would never stoop so low. Friends, I don't know about you, but sometimes it sounds like us. Sounds like me some days. Maybe you can relate too sometimes with unmet and unfulfilled expectations like we talked last week, and sometimes we're just downright mad, angry, and raging. Because it didn't happen the way maybe we thought it would. It wasn't packaged the way we hoped it would be. We talk about unmet, unspoken, and unrealistic expectations. We have our way of wanting things to be. I want the truth. I want the healing. I want the provision. I want, I desire, I'm passionate about this. And we so often have a pre-imagined expectation of God even, or those around us, this idea of how it's supposed to happen, to look and to sound. Quite often, actually, when I think about my week, I have multiple opportunities to walk in a similar posture like Naaman. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I realize I am, and then I can make a change. But I think it's worth talking about. Like all the time, right? And I'd be leaving mad or be disappointed or maybe just ticked off, raging out the car window or at the TV or on Facebook, raging. And my pride, friends, is preventing me from walking in my blessing. And I hope someone's going to get what I'm putting down tonight. My pride sometimes actually prevents me from walking in the blessing that God has for me. Sometimes my pride is preventing me from walking in the provision that God is setting me up to walk in, because I thought it's going to look different than that, God. It's supposed to look different than that. Naaman leaves offended. He drank all the cups, the jug, and licked it clean. Thirsty for offense, right? When, like Elisha, what did he do? He just gave the next few steps for his healing. Like, we're talking healing from an incurable disease. Leprosy gone, fresh start, new beginnings, name it. Hey, Elisha could have drank the poison too, leaders in the room, husbands and wives, business owners, leaders in your community. Elisha too could have drank the poison. For you helpers in the room who are helping people often in your jobs and where you work, play and study. He could have been like, bro, I offered you a healing, told you even how to get it, gave you a 3-step plan. He made it really simple, sent you an email even. You got mad and yelled at my dog and kicked up dust in my neighborhood. Now my neighborhood's neighbors are looking over the fence wondering what the heck is going on over there. Why is Naaman yelling at Elisha again? Or at his wife, or at his kids, or at the boss? I mean, all my friends, all my family just saw what happened, right? I can't believe you didn't have just a little respect for my gifting. Your own fault, Naaman. You could have been healed, bro. We would have even posted your picture on the healing wall of fame, even in our hallway. On you, buddy, I did my part. I think I'm owed an apology. Hey, sometimes helping is hurting. You sometimes, because when we help people until people don't receive the help that you're offering or laying down, sometimes we get offended by that, right? And I know I'm taking the liberty to use my imagination here tonight, but I can't help but relate the story to how us humans might behave still sometimes in some similar circumstances, similar situations. How many times do we find ourselves offended by things? Yeah, we have the right to be offended. Hey, it's not right. I can feel it. I know I'm experiencing it. I have the right to be upset about what happened. It's not right. There's nothing I can do to make that right. But because it didn't come packaged in the way or in the timing that I was expecting it to come, I am upset and I am irritated and I'm offended. So if you're taking notes tonight, friends, write this down in slide 7. I believe it'll help someone. The first thing I want you to write down is being drawn into an offense will distract you from what's most important in your life. And that's what we're talking about. If you want a title for this word tonight, it's distraction trap. We're trapped by distraction sometimes. Being drawn into offense distracts you from what's most important in your life. Here it is, Naaman, your healing. the most important thing. I mean, you traveled across masses of miles, miles and miles. You traveled days, whatever it took to get here. It was important to you. You laid down everything. You called the boss. You made it happen. You booked the flights. Here you are. It's important. And Naaman, instead of taking it, he decides to be offended by it because it wasn't packaged the way I thought it would be. The things that are most important to him derailed by offense, getting us off track in our lives. Friends, when you begin to drink the poison of offense and buy into a perspective and a world frame of view, you start wearing the glasses of offense. I don't know about you, but if you've ever looked through a glass, I can't even see your face. I can't distinguish anything about you. My vision is distorted because I've put on this lens. I'm looking through this offense. I can't see the world around me the way that God has designed me to see it. God wants to heal our vision tonight. God wants to heal how you see those around you. Yes. God wants you to take those glasses off. He wants you to empty that, get rid of it. We start wearing the glasses of offense, seeing the people in the world around us in a way that is tainted and toxic. Friends, it will distract us. Offense is distracting us in our marriages. It's distracting you in your sex life, in your marriage. It's distracting you how you interact with your family and with your loved ones, those who you care so much about, and how we raise our children. It's distracting us in our interactions in the workplace. And it's derailing my worship. When I come to church or I'm in my prayer closet, I can't stop thinking about all the toxic things that are going on in my life. I don't even know they're toxic sometimes. I'm just disappointed. I'm just irritated. I'm just frustrated with all those people. And I'm distracted from being able to worship my good creator, my good God who loves me so much. It derails my worship. Some of you could be sitting here in church today or participating online later even and because of a past hurt, a past offense, or someone on your way in on the parking lot, maybe you were offended, just said something crazy to you off the cuff. And you might have found that I just couldn't connect to God and worship tonight. Or I'm having a hard time focusing as I'm listening right now. All I can think about is what that person or the circumstance, the offense, will distract you from the most important things in your life, friends. Some of you have led in different circles in our communities, teachers, first responders, child caregivers, business owners. I mean, I don't know about you, but anyone who is a front lines leader who has stepped into a leadership role in leading a business or caregiving, I mean, you have cups being poured and being flung at you left and right all day long. And you're just like, ding, 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 ding. And sometimes you're down and exhausted and you're like, and it just keeps coming. No one appreciates what you do. And it's just such an opportunity to be offended all the time and just worn out. Like there ain't no end to the opportunities to be offended. Cups of toxic poison everywhere, right? Flying by you, offered to you. If you're in the serving industry and you're like, I'm not drinking that. I'm not drinking it. I'm not drinking that. I'm not taking that. No, I can't drink. I'm not. No, I refuse to drink the poison. And maybe you find yourself like Elisha. You're not really in it to win it for yourself. You love serving. You love caring for people. You're compassionate. God designed you such a beautiful way. I know there are selfish and tainted leaders out there too. I'm not saying that just because you're a leader, you're perfect or I'm perfect either. No one is. But here you are just doing your best, putting your best foot forward and trying to help and trying to do good and trying to make a difference where you're planted. Like Elisha. You're like, I just gave you the answer that you need. Bro, sis, I just handed you the keys. Just respond to it. Would you just receive it? Accept the help. Man, you would be healed. You'd be well, restored, brand new. So leaders, helpers, buckle your seatbelts. You are visible. You're really visible when you're serving in the public. You're a target when you're a leader. And you are going to have all kinds of opportunities being flung your way. And if you're not careful, we can easily be distracted by the poison that keeps being served up for you at a pace that it's hard to even keep up with. Sidetracked from the very thing that God wants to do most in us and through us, derailed by the multiple offenses and the ongoing flinging of those things that keep coming. Say no, friends. Stay in your freedom, friends. Don't drink the poison. So here's the second help I want to offer. Slide 8, being drawn into offense is a trap of the enemy. It's a trap. Offense is literally just a trap from the enemy. The word offense in the Greek, found in the New Testament scripture, comes from the word scandalon, which is a trap that a hunter would set for his prey. Offense is literally a trap from the enemy to trap you and I as his prey. A trap from Satan and his kingdom of darkness. Jesus himself warned us in scripture that the enemy of everything good has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, hey, I have come that you might have life and life to the fullest, life abundant, friends. So if you, tonight, it's a hashtag, not today, Satan. Some of you need to buy the t-shirt and wear it. So you could be reminded, not today, devil, get behind me. I see you sneaky little coming over here, you weasel, trying to set that trap for me in my life again. Not today, Satan, get behind me. I keep getting served at that big old glass. And see, sometimes we'd be so busy in our life, it just sneaks up on us and we don't even realize it. Wait, slow down. It's a trap. Don't do it. Don't drink the pink Kool-Aid. It's a lie. It's deception. It's Satan trying to actually destroy your marriage. Don't say what was just planted in your head. Trying to help you lose that job that God actually blessed. Don't tell your boss off. God gave you that job. It's a blessing. Not today, Satan. He is so sneaky, putting the glass in areas of your life you would have never suspected that they'd actually show up sometimes. Would have never seen that coming, right? It's a good friend. I mean, she's always been so supportive. Or God, really? I thought you were protecting me from evil here today. I thought I wasn't supposed to get sick. I thought if I prayed and asked for something, you'd give me all my desires and everything would come true. What, God, why? And we'd be getting offended by God himself because it's not packaged the way that I anticipated it to be packaged. Offense, friends, is a trap of the enemy. It's not today, Satan. Get behind me, devil, in the name of Jesus. Here's the third thing I believe will help someone today. Number slide 9, being drawn into an offense causes people to miss out on God's plan for their life. So when you're distracted by the devil, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. When you're distracted by offense, you're going to miss out on God's plan for your life. Friends, it's a big deal. It's important. Think of Naaman. God actually wanted to heal him. And yet, his offense kept him from receiving the healing. And I will see there's a good end to the story, but I want to bring this to our attention. He left mad from receiving all that God had for him. He was offended, left raging, was walking away from that healing and provision that God had just said, hey, you go do this, you're going to be healed, you're going to be washed and cleansed. He was right there on the doorstep to his healing, facing the blessing of his lifetime, but he got offended, friends. And because it wasn't packaged or presented the way he expected, he walks away offended. He walks away angry. Thinking about those of us in the room tonight, friends, or even online later, Is there an offense standing in your way of your healing or of your blessing or of your provision? We're all carrying it. It's more than likely there is. And tonight we want to be released from that. We want to have a fresh start tonight so you can walk in your blessing, so you can walk in your provision, so you can walk in your anointing, friends. You can walk in your calling. I'd be as bold as to say it this way. If you are offended in any way, shape, or form, you are standing on the doorstep of your next blessing. And you are missing out on that healing. You are missing out on that provision. Missing out on the new next that God has for you because you are offended. Are you with me tonight, friends? You understand how important this is for us to get this tonight. If you are carrying offense, you are standing on the doorstep of your next blessing. What is your decision? The offense is not hurting them, friends. It's hurting you and robbing you of being able to walk in the plans and purposes that God has for you. Don't drink it. Stop it. I know you feel it. It's real. It isn't right. It hurts. But you have the choice to recognize the offense for what it is and to say, no, Satan, get behind me. And let God do what he wants to do for you and in you tonight. What are you holding on to that you need to let go of tonight? I believe right now, even as I speak, the Holy Spirit's dropping things into your mind and into your heart that you know you need to let go in order to walk in the provision that God has for you tonight. Holy Spirit, right now, open our minds and hearts. Reveal to us what we need to let go of, what we need to pour out tonight. The moment you let go of it, God is stepping in and he's going to do something radical right now in your heart and mind, friends, in your circumstances. And what do? We just say, wow, thank you, Jesus. The next thing about offense is that, slide 10 for us, is offense is transferable from one person to another. It's up to you and I, friends, to be aware and to be alert for those around you who are toxic and who are poisoned by offense, offended people. Poisoned. They talk. They love to talk. They love to share their story because they want support in their worldview and feeling the way they feel. They want to share their story and they want to elaborate and regurgitate it and poison people. They love allies. Love to surround themselves with other people who will support and uphold their poisoned and toxic worldview. Friends, I hope I'm helping you tonight to recognize people in your life who are poisoned by offense or maybe even in yourself tonight. And if you're not careful, their toxic vomit will end up on your white shirt and you get to wear it for the rest of the day. You end up carrying their offense. It has nothing to do with you. It's like vicarious trauma. Just hearing about their offense offers you an opportunity to feel offended. And before you know it, you will have the same choice to make. Last week we called it social drinking. You can sit there and pull up a chair and social drink that poison together. Or you can say, wait a second. No, I'm not going to do it. Just because you're around it and listening to it, now begin to ingest, as you sit there, you begin to ingest all of that toxicity. And it starts to saturate your own soul and your own heart. Think of Naaman's crew. Here he is raging, he's ticked off, right? I mean, I can't believe this preacher guy. Who does he think he is? I'm so mad. Man, we drove all this way. It cost us so much. It cost us $395 and 24 pizzas. What if all of his team bought into his story, bought into that story, and they pulled up a chair and they social drank that together? Bought into his toxic offense. Yeah, bro, what was he thinking? That was so wrong. I would have said that too, right? You're bigger than this. You don't deserve to be treated so poorly. Completely unreasonable. Definitely one star. Completely unreasonable. Imagine his whole team buying into this offense. Friends, I mean, you've seen it too. I've seen entire workplaces turned upside down by offense. I've seen whole churches turned upside down by offense. Entire families buying into an offense that was experienced by one person who had to be heard. The whole world's got to hear this. This isn't fair. And it's not trite. There's some things in your life that aren't. But when you're not careful, you just might become a victim of someone else's offense being transferred to you. And you be carrying it. Now you be all mad at the same people that that toxic person's mad at too. We'd be mad together. Here, let me help someone. You want to know what toxic people look like? If you're taking notes, this just might help someone identify a toxic person in your life. You probably all know this already, but I want to just make sure we have some tools. It's really simple. Toxic people speak negatively about others. Easy peasy, right? That's easy to recognize. Negative. They lack compassion. They take up way too much of your time. Constantly have drama going on in their lives. They like to embellish and exaggerate. Toxic people like to criticize others. They talk way more than they listen. They play the victim mindset. Lose their temper often. Always got to be right or have the last say. Treating others poorly and self-obsessed. Always trying to control you or the outcome. These are just a few, friends, symptoms of toxicity, of offense, of poison. My hope for you and I is that you and I can see the signs in advance before we partner with that person in doing life and ministry together and make a different decision on who you are hanging out with later, because offense is transferable from one to another. Now, I believe this is worth saying. The church isn't perfect. I'm glad you're here because I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. It's a church made up of imperfect people who are looking to worship a perfect God. So I'm not saying that we have to get all our lives cleaned up. We're all perfect and then we've got it all together. That is absolutely not what I'm saying. Church is a spiritual hospital, actually. It's not a museum made up of perfect saints and memoirs and restored artifacts. No, it's a spiritual hospital. It gets messy. We all come with some kind of baggage tonight, including me, friends. We're all coming with some kind of hurt and need a rescuer, need Jesus tonight. We are going to see all kinds of things in this church. We're going to work with some really difficult people and some really difficult situations because that's what God has called us to do. Our goal here in this house is to see soul restoration, right? We always want to see people restored back to health. That's why we be going through a series like this, because I want to see, and you want to see, and God wants to see us restored and have good soul health. Restored back to health, love back to life, to live with hope and healing and to walk in the freedom that God has designed us to live and walk in. The challenge for many of us, though, is that we want to help everyone in a way. Like almost do the work for them. So I want to talk to you for a moment. But you and I need to realize that you can only help the people who want to be helped. You and I aren't the Christ friends. God is in the heart-changing business. You and I, you know what we get to do? We get to listen for what the Holy Spirit's doing. We get to listen and watch and discern for what Holy Spirit's already doing, and we get to just partner with that conversation. We get to partner with what God's already doing. We don't have to be the Christ, the Messiah. God is. There ain't room for another Savior, friends. This is why we can sometimes get ourselves wrapped up and trapped in experiencing codependency in our lives and Messiah complexes. They don't need you. They don't need me. They need Jesus. We get to be point leaders. Right? Pointing the way to Jesus. Hey, I'm just following Jesus, friend. Come. You want to follow Jesus too? Hey, that's where I'm going to. We're just following you. I don't know much about what you're going through, but I love, come on, let's look at Jesus. I mean, it's probably one of the most frustrating things being in Elisha's position metaphorically. When you're in a position to help people and lay out a pathway, illuminate a pathway, offer a solution even, and people don't take it up. People don't accept it, receive it. And friends, it happens all the time, and it's going to continue to happen in your lives. And you can't even drink up that toxicity, that poison. Yes, it's frustrating and draining, and it's exhausting all the time. So what do? You just keep focusing on people who want help. Who can I help? That's who I'm going to focus on. Feed the hungry and double down on feeding the ones who come back for seconds and thirds. I ain't playing. You get what I'm saying tonight? Is that okay? I know we're talking about a few different things tonight, but we're talking about the traps, the distraction traps. You get caught up in doing all kinds of things sometimes. I think a key, though, in this is also not villainizing people in these situations. They're not the bad guy. When they choose to not dip in the Jordan River, when they choose to go away mad and to leave offended by whatever it is that you were part of, or to talk about you with all their friends and to give your organization a 1-star on Google, even after all you did to bend over backwards for them. We don't want to villainize people. That's not what God's calling us to do. Yet we also don't want to validate their abuse, their negativity, or the conversations they continue to have about the people we love. As you are working towards forgiveness, because that's what we're called to do, is to forgive as the Heavenly Father has forgiven us. But as we work towards that forgiveness in our lives with them, doesn't mean that you have to put up with fronting their negativity. Subjecting yourselves to being abused or to maltreatment. You can forgive people and not trust them still, like we talked about last week. You can forgive people and still see that they have poison flying out of their mouths. Still saying terrible things about you and your family and my workplace, my friends, my church, my city, my government. So as you're loving people and serving people, just remember, you can love people, you can forgive people. We don't villainize people. But we also don't validate their toxic behaviors either, because offense is transferable, friends. That makes sense tonight? I hope this is helping someone. Now, thankfully, we don't have to do life or ministry alone either. I'm so thankful that we have such a great team of leaders and servant-hearted people in this church, in our family, who work so hard to be team players, to pull together and to laugh together, to play together, to work hard together, who are committed to growing as healthy leaders in my own life, in your own life, and in the lives of those around you. I love it what God's doing and growing and building in this church. Maybe you thought the story of Naaman was over, though. But thank God for a good team around Naaman that wasn't going to just sit back and watch him burn and watch him miss out on an opportunity to see the hand of God move in his life. See, friends, that's why it's so important to us as the body of Christ to be a gathered body of Christ. The more often that you miss out being gathered in the church and being gathered with your local body, the more often you are susceptible to being trapped by the enemy's snares. Yeah. But you have a team around you, friends, and there's a girl, there's a servant, there's someone who's going to say, dude, watch out for that. I see what's going on here. I see that offense is possibly going to get in the way of what God wants to do in your life. Come on, let's walk this together. Let's talk to somebody. Let's pray together. Let's walk this out together. It's important, friends, that you have a healthy team around you. See, healthy teams grow healthy churches, and that's God's plan for us in this city. Thank God for a good team around Naaman that wasn't going to let him miss out on an opportunity to see the hand of God move in his life. Picking up the story again in 2 Kings 5 and 13. How are we doing? We're almost done, friends. 2 Kings 5, 13. Naaman's servants went to him and said, hey, friend, father, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more than when he just tells you to wash and be cleansed? So Naaman goes down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. See, the very words of his servants, his team, the people surrounding him, speaking life into your life. not drinking the poison with you. They might say, dude, I'm not going to drink that with you, but I'm going to speak some life into your situation right now. I'm going to encourage you, which means I'm going to give you some courage. I'm going to give you some words of advice that you can take them or leave them. You can spit out the bones. But friend, I just want to help you because I see that there's something going on that's going to prevent you from walking in all that God has for you. Come on, Naaman. It's that simple. Not drinking the poison with him, but encouraging him. Come on, Naaman. It's right there for you. Yes, it could have been easier or better or smelly, nicer, more attractive, a bigger deal, right? But it's right there, friend, and you can be healed today. Beyond all of Naaman's military and leadership accomplishments and accolades and diplomas on the wall, this was the day where he made the most significant choice of his entire life. And I believe there's someone here tonight that can make that same decision. As he chose to humble himself and to lay down his ego and his pride, laying down his offense, he went back. He got rid of the glass of poison, got rid of the toxicity, and he was healed. He was set free from his disease. So great of a story that Jesus himself even talked about it later in Luke. And if Jesus is bringing up a story from about some Syrian who's not even an Israelite, it's probably a pretty big deal. He talked about Naaman, a Syrian who's not. Luke 4 and 27, Jesus himself was saying this. He's like, and there are many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman, the Syrian. An uncommon act of faith, an uncommon response. I felt offended. Like Naaman, he even drank the poison, right? Got all angry and raging and walked away mad. But because of his team around him, he said, hey, Naaman, but. And when he humbled himself and fought through his right to be right, fought through his pride, and he chose to not continue to live offended, not going to drink this poison, he received all that God had for him, friends. I am not going to allow this offense to prevent me from walking in my blessing any longer. I see the distraction trap. I see it. That was close, sneaky little. I see you playing me, devil, in this situation. But I know now that just on the other side of my offense is the breakthrough that God has for me. So I'm choosing in this moment to live unoffended. Say it with me. I am choosing to live unoffended. Just on the other side of this offense is the breakthrough that God has for me. I ain't stopping now. I am walking toward the healing that God has for me. Slide 13 for us. Never underestimate what God has for you beyond the offense. Some of you are underestimating God right now. Can you take a step to stop underestimating God and what he has for you beyond the offense? I know you want to hang on to it. I know it hurts. I know it's, you have a right, friend. It wasn't right. Never could make it right. Or maybe it's between you and God and it's just not packaged the way you wanted it to look. But never underestimate what God has for you beyond the offense. Rather than drinking the poison, pour it out. Pour it out. Proverbs 19 and slide 14 says, it's to one's glory. We read this earlier on in the series. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense, meaning it's honorable to resist revenge and resentment. It's honorable. It's good sense and discretion. In fact, overlooking offense doesn't negate justice either. It doesn't negate the need for justice. It wasn't right. It was wrong. There's no way you could turn that wrong into a right. It's not about ignoring those things either and suppressing it and pushing those feelings way down deep either, friends. But what we cannot do is to allow the poison of what has been done wrong toward us in our lives to settle in my soul and to saturate my heart and to consume my thoughts, my entire life. We've got to choose to live free of that. Stay in your freedom. He who is free in Christ Jesus is free indeed. So stay in it, walk in it, choose it, love it, embrace it. Stop drinking the poison. Live free. Learn to pour that poison out that you've been served. Not only do we not want to drink it, like I mentioned in the first couple episodes, and today we're talking about don't drink the poison. As I was writing and preparing for this series, I began to sense God talking to me about all the glasses that I have sitting up on my own bedside. That before bed, when I just about to go to sleep, I'm like, well, I remember that one time he said, oh, I wonder what he meant with that. I wonder if I should just, yeah. I began to sense God talking to me about my glasses that have been served up in my life. And some of them go way back. I thought I was healed from that offense. I guess because it's so long ago, I just forgot about it maybe. But then if something's triggered in me when something is said or I'm in a, reminded by something, I'm like, oh, it's right up in my face again. And there they sit on my bedside, nightstand, whatever it is, waiting for me to talk to it and to listen to it. To entertain it a little bit, touch it, dip my finger in it. Maybe even include my wife before bed in that conversation and we'll social drink a little bit, just a tad. Ah, God's talking to me about it. My stuff. See, it's not enough just to see it, to know it's there and not drink it and stick your finger in it. It's not enough to just see it, to know it's there and not drink it. You've got to deal with it, friends. I've got to deal with it. You've got to pour it out so that it can stop being your bedside entertainment, so it can stop being your nightcap, so it can stop being your living room conversation, so it can stop being the things you think about while you're doing whatever you do. We've got to deal with it. So why don't we? Why don't we? Just deal with it. So with me tonight, metaphorically and figuratively, would you take your glass in your hand, grab your jug. Are you with me? And pour it. Pour it all out. Deal with it. We need to pour this stuff out of our lives to make that decision to detox from it. Not just put it into a cabinet and close the door. I don't want to stare at it anymore. I also don't want to pretend that it's not there. I'm going to eliminate this temptation from my life. I'm going to have some hard conversations with the people I love. I'm going to find a counselor and I'm going to work through some stuff. I'm going to talk to an elder or a pastor. We're going to talk about some of these things that keep coming up in my life. I'm going to find a confidant, a good friend that's been through this already and who's on the other side of it. He's going to help me walk through this. I'm going to pour it out and eliminate this from my life once and for all. Being willing to forgive, even if you were wronged and when you were wronged, it's not an option, friends. You don't want to live bitter. It's not an option to keep it on your bedside. It's no longer an option. We're taking that away tonight. Are you with me? It's no longer, you don't want to live bitter. You don't want to live filled with contempt. With disgust. Friends, I feel in the room for our marriages tonight. Some of you have been having some conversations, or haven't been having some conversations maybe you should be having. Contempt will kill your marriage. Deal with it, friends. I feel that strong in the spirit tonight. Find someone to talk to. Work through those things. Deal with it. So when you decide to pour out the poison, slide 15, let's talk about pouring out the poison for a few moments. When you choose to, when you pour out the poison, friends, it frees you from the vice of that toxicity, the temptation of that toxicity. I'm going to pour it out. You can free yourself tonight from that toxicity, literally getting the poison out of your system. I refuse to hold grudges tonight. I refuse to stay irritated. I refuse to stay annoyed, hurt, and frustrated. When you pour out the poison, it frees you from toxicity. Here's the next one. You pour out the poison, it's no longer drinkable. You pour it out. See, when you pour it out, it's about having a conversation. There's accountability in this. Don't do it alone. Now someone can walk alongside you in that and hold you accountable to that pour it out drink. See, sometimes we just keep pouring ourselves a drink because we love it. We like it. When you pour it out and you have someone else in your life that can walk that out with you and they can help you to remember and remind you that it's poured out, friend. It's gone. It's no longer drinkable. Don't go there. When you pour it out, I love this. It's no longer drink. It's no longer tantalizing you as it sits there and taunts you. Hey, look at me. Drink me. Get revenge. Pay them back for what they did or said. Or don't. Just ignore them. You don't deserve this. Give them some of their own medicine, right? Hey, we've all been there. When I pour it out, it's no longer drinkable. It's empty. It's gone. I made that choice. Next one, when you pour out the poison, God will forgive you and heal your heart. When you make that choice to pour out the poison, God will forgive you and heal your heart. See, when you make the choice to pour it out, God gets to make the change. Stop holding God back from what he wants to do in your life just because you want to hold on to that offense. God gets to make the change. What choice is holding you back from your healing today? Is it possible that God really has a breakthrough for you? On the other side of pouring out that offense, you've been holding on to it. Like myself, you've begun and I've begun to identify all kinds of things in my life. Little things, big things, glasses of offense. Things that I've just kept there for whatever stupid reasons. You see it, the glass is there. Reminds you every time that you see it. That person, that place. Maybe today you've drank the poison like Naaman and you're angry and frustrated and filled with offense today. Today, friends, by the grace of God in this house tonight, would you pour it out? Would you pour it out? Would you get rid of it? Would you free yourself once and for all tonight? Receive the forgiveness. Receive the blessing. Receive the provision that offense has walled you up to prevent you from walking in. Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6, my last scripture for you, and then we're gonna pray. Matthew 6 and 14, one that we need to read often, think about and reflect on. It says this, Jesus is saying, 6:14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. See, the point is when you walk in the fullness of all that God has for you, which is filled with forgiveness, when you walk in that forgiveness, forgiveness is able to exude from your life. Why? Because you realize that God has been so good to me. I've done so many wrong things in my life. I've hurt so many people. I've said the wrong things. I've done the wrong things. I've cheated. I've flirted. Whatever it is. And I offended those around me. But God has forgiven me. And because of his forgiveness that I'm experiencing, I too can begin to walk in forgiveness and begin to learn what it means to forgive others. It's not a feeling, it's just a choice. It's a choice to pour it out, to let it go, to not seek revenge, to avenge yourself, to remain irritated and annoyed and frustrated. I don't know, friends, if you would be willing. We'll turn on a little bit of music in the background. I really feel like there's a moment just to respond tonight. I think God wants to heal some hearts tonight. Now, here's one.